You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, you guys did know I knew Elton John, right?
Oh, no shit, really?
Oh, yeah, me and Elton John go way back. I even know the name that he only wants his friends to call him.
Dwight.
You know Reginald?
Who's Reginald?
Funny you should mention him, right? I used to drive him around in an Uber.
I used to drive him around in a Lyft. God.
Well, he famously does not like leaving his home, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's call him up and get him on this podcast.
The idea of Elton John and Uber or Lyft is just wrong.
I think basically, people, this movie's about bullshitting.
So, anyways, I don't even know how to segue off of that bit. We are talking about the Elijah Wood film Come to Daddy, which is releasing this Friday. Or Thursday, if you go for the midnight showing or whatnot. Yeah. Do they even do that anymore? I think it's just 7 to 10 now.
No, they do. Well, the bigger movies do anyways. Like, I don't know.
Every movie's trying to make
its
money.
Not this one.
Yeah. We got a screener for this, and I don't know about you guys, but this is one of the most exciting screeners I've gotten.
I'm always excited to get a screener from Saban Films.
I am not usually, because they are incredibly hit and miss, but I've been
following this one
for a while.
Mob
I
Story
dare.
Is a cult
I
classic.
Dare. They're not here. They're fine. They don't care. They don't care. But you know, I've been following this one for a while, so as soon as I got the email for this, I was like, oh, yes. I need to see this. And I saw it twice, actually. I liked it that much. So yeah, good on them for snagging a winner, in my opinion.
Yeah, me and Alex are both trying to watch this screener again, because holy shit.
Definitely. The Draft House here has been playing the trailer for this before movies. Like when we went to see Colorado Space, this trailer played, and we were like,
did the trailer spoil anything from the movie?
Hell no.
No, God, not no. at all. No.
It's
not
actually, to everybody in the audience, to all of our listeners out there, the trailer is actually a really good way on selling the movie without telling you anything about the overall plot besides the basic hook. But let's get into the basic hook for the movie. Who do I put on the spot? I'm going to put Frank on the spot. Could you explain what Come to Daddy is about?
Sure. I'm sorry. Look.
No, go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
No, as soon as I finish swinging the cider, yeah.
take your time, man.
Great.
Come on, man.
Like timing. Okay. Nothing like time. Okay, so basically, Elijah Wood plays Norval Greenwood. I think that's Norval Greenwood. And he is basically this Beverly Hills raised Coachella, I don't want to say douche, because he's not necessarily a douche, but he's that kind of prototype.
He's a little bit of a douche.
His haircut, definitely.
I feel he's more desperate than douchey.
He's a limp douche.
The first lady he meets in the movie, he hits on.
Oh, yeah.
The only lady he meets in the movie. Oh, no, he meets another one. Yeah, yeah, down the line. He basically is estranged from his father, has not seen him since he was 5 years old, he's been living in Beverly Hills with his mother, and he gets this letter out of the blue to come to Northern California and visit his long-lost father. And he gets there, and he realizes, as soon as he meets his father, played by the eternally terrifying Stephen McHattie, this man is not exactly or at all what he expected him to be. And they clash almost instantly, and things just get more unsettling and darker and darkly hilarious from there. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And
this movie was wackadoo.
The what?
This movie was wackadoo.
Oh.
It was very wackadoo.
To say the least.
I would say that this movie has one of the most unexpected plot deviation since when I saw Parasite.
No, it's because it did it, and then it did it a little bit again, and then it spiced it up, was like, ooh, is this getting spooky? And then switches it again, and then switches it again.
Yeah,
I have one of those best friends who calls every twist. I love this guy, but I hate him so much because he calls every fucking twist in every fucking movie that we watch together. And I watched this when the first twist happens. I thought, oh, well, he would have called it, and now he'd be over it. But everything that happens beyond it is just so consistently surprising. This is a ride in terms of plot movements and whatnot.
Yeah, on cinematography level, on every level, I thought this movie was just absolutely stunning. God.
So
isn't it gorgeous to look at?
Oh yeah,
with such a limited location, they got a lot of great shots.
We should talk about the director, because he's a producer of the ABCs of Death, Turbo Kid, and Deathgasm, Ant Timpson.
So this is his first good movie.
What's his first direct? Well, this
Turbo
is his
Kid's
first director. This is his directorial debut. So, and it's based on something that was sort of like loosely based on. On an experience he had. I think he was with... I think his dad actually...
Very loose
yeah, I... but this is for... that. Sorry, this is for spoiler talk. I can't really say.
Yeah, well, we can...
Cinematography.
Beautiful. But what I find very interesting about Ant Timpson, besides that his name is Ant, is that he owns the biggest collection of 35mm in the Southern Hemisphere. And you,
really?
Yeah, and you can just tell that this dude, like, clearly lives and breathes movies. While it doesn't feel like, you know, like a Tarantino movie in that sense, it doesn't feel quite like any movie I've ever seen before.
He has 35 films on print.
No,
that's what you said, right?
He has the largest collection of 35mm prints.
That guy wears a monocle. That's all I picture now.
Oh, no. He looks... like Little John. He's a very big man. Not like Lil John, but Little John from Robin Hood.
Minus the hair.
Yeah. I never pictured him with hair.
But yeah, no, the cinematography, the writing. What I like a lot about this movie is that it manages to balance being so humorous while also being like emotionally raw and just fucking weird as shit.
The humor is really like the scene with the selfie, the failed selfie attempt. I just thought it was hilarious. I should have had that second beer for breakfast, and then the dropping the phone. I mean, that was such a great scene. It was like laugh, you know, back and forth. And it was between the two of them. It was great.
I love how realistic of a fuck up they made Elijah Wood.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Like he would fuck up a situation, but it's like I probably would have done the same thing.
Well, he's so out of his element. That's hilarious. This is little Beverly Hills kid, and he's, you know, has to call on his instincts when he's faced with this guy who's complete opposite end of the spectrum from like any type of social experience he's ever had. And it's great. I love that whole fish out of water sort of, you know, alien, stranger in a strange land type of, you know, mood he was going there.
Oh, totally. And he goes to his dad, who lives in this beautiful house in seclusion, and he just keeps trying to drop names. And he just drops names like his dad drops phones.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a crazy house, by the way. I love that
house. It's
like
a spaceship. Like,
right? No, seriously.
I like it. Yeah. It's like a UFO.
I like how... I'm just gonna... no, I don't... Yeah, it's okay. I feel like the first 5 minutes you know this. I love what a piece of shit his dad is.
Oh, yeah.
Unabashedly.
You mentioned... Did
his
you...
Dad's like...
You mentioned
he sounds
this...
like the father of any podcast critic you enjoy.
You mentioned this off mic one time, Doggett, but you described it as feeling like a ripoff of The Lighthouse until it's not. That was one of the best descriptions I have ever heard on this. This is one of the few times I will give you praise, Doggett, but still.
It's about time you recognize.
No,
bask in my greatness.
Yeah, I can smell it from here.
Ugh. Man, you can't do a review for this movie without doing a dick measuring contest. Like, goddamn, this father was on this kid's ass.
Yeah, it's man. Well, he's just so desperate to impress him, and because the dad is such a, you know, dick, I mean, he's just like, just, you know, he's taunting him, and then he's just like toying with him, and then just tearing him down.
It's like, if he, it's like if a kid went up to him and was like, I just did a backflip. He's like, okay, do it. And like, I don't want to do it right now. I was like, do a backflip right now.
We're selling this as like sort of like he, Elijah Wood doesn't do it in like too pathetic of a way. Like, he is pathetic in his attempts to try and impress his dad. But like, behind all of that, whenever he gets alone and like actually confronts his dad for abandoning him, that shit is so raw for the movie that you kind of think is just going to go for the goofy horror route. It really delivers on the emotion of that.
I think it would have I think that's it really grounds it. I think that's where it really finds its, like, it's grounding in a lot of ways. I think it would have been I don't think it would have been as special if it hadn't been like about something that that it was actually real, at least real to the character. And I don't know. I think that's also why I don't really see him as too douchey. I see him as trying to be douchey as opposed to inherently douchey, because he is carrying around like a lot of like, there's something missing about me, or there's something not right about me. And
he's more insecure.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And he's fighting really hard for approval.
And a lot of that comes from the natural awkward charisma from Elijah Wood.
Yeah. No, totally. He's got a lot of empathy toward this character. You can tell by the way he plays him. But it's so funny watching him, and every stitch of clothing this character wears is so anti anything I would ever put on my body.
Oh yeah.
But
his haircut is anti.
His haircut was just
very
so
Friar Tuck.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
God.
So atrocious.
That mustache, though.
I mean, as soon as I said Coachella, I'm like, oh, of course. But you know, I saw him in another costume change, it felt so phony and so self-conscious. I see him as him trying to desperately be in that sort of Coachella, niche of like, I can name drop and I'm so cool, and I've got a phone that was designed by Lord that's solid gold and there are only 20 of in the entire world. And
yeah, man, the life and times of a DJ.
If you saw that phone on the table, would you jack it?
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
No, dude, they have find my phone and they would find my ass.
Dude, do you know how much gold costs though?
Yeah, I know.
Uncut gems, that shit.
What you got? What you got? I got this phone.
I'm gonna come right now.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry. We should not go through the.
No, that's actually the least offensive thing in this, in conjunction to this movie.
Yeah.
At least it's not yellow.
Wait, just okay. So some of y'all saw a trailer for this. Who didn't watch the trailer for this?
I wish that I hadn't, but I'm glad that I did.
I saw no trailer for this, so I really had no idea what to expect when I first got this movie. I just saw Saban Films, so I knew I was in for some shit.
I generally hate trailers because I feel like they give you too much. They like try to oversell you. This movie did not. This movie sold its premise and really didn't tell you anything outside of the first 10 minutes.
So it's a testament to, like, and usually it's with genre trailers when they're so bound by how much, how much of their film is spoiler worthy. They can only work with like what they've got, with only a fraction, and make something sort of like hooky, like, for lack of a better term, out of that. And I think this movie, I mean, the marketing for this movie is just spot on with that. Yeah, I agree. Like it a lot.
Do we want to get into final thoughts now that we're at the 15-minute mark?
Right, we've gone further than the movie has.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do the thing, and maybe like a 2-minute spoiler if y'all want to do it.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go. This is dope.
I'm jacked. Let's do it.
Final thoughts. This movie was crazy as hell. I loved it. That's all I have to say.
You got a rating for it?
You're not the deaf in this movie. You don't control this room. Give your rating, your arbitrary rating.
My arbitrary rating? Oh, man. I'd probably give it, I don't know, maybe 17 out of 20 limited edition phones.
That is your right.
It is.
Dog it. Go for it.
Dog it. Sorry. Forced to have it. Yes, guys, I really enjoyed this movie. This is a twist and turn kind of movie. Don't watch any trailers for this. You just told me it doesn't spoil anything. I still say don't watch any trailers for this. I want the image of Elijah Wood, your first image of it, to be from this movie, because he looks fucking
weird. Well, in that
case,
don't see the poster either.
Yes. From just the first 10 minutes of this dad just verbally dick slapping his son.
Rent it using just Braille. Is what you're
this
saying.
This movie's wonderful. Come on. Everybody, please try your best to find this movie if you can. And really spread the word about this, because this movie deserves to be seen. I'm going to give this movie 9 out of 10 times I'm going to say the word movie.
All right, Frank.
Okay, I purposely did not pick up my cider when you started Final Thoughts. I didn't know what I was going to be called. So, but, okay. yeah, I think we're all like pretty much in agreement. We all really dug this movie, and I'm so glad, because I was going to be tempted to go after the one person that didn't like this movie. I'm glad we all liked it. I'm glad this movie is getting like buzz. I thought this would be such a great premise, because how many guys can't relate to their dads, even if they grew up in the same house with them all their lives? And I think this movie like really speaks to the whole sort of subconscious underlying fear that my dad doesn't like me, or my dad's not going to approve of me, this and that. But, I love this movie. I loved every twist and turn it went. I love that, at the beginning it's like this sort of like, it's a dick measuring contest in the beginning, and then it becomes this very sort of like quiet, introspective like character piece, and then it becomes like a really plot driven, twisty turny affair, and it works. I mean, it's three different kinds of movies in one, and it really like works on all of them. And Elijah Wood is great. You wouldn't expect a movie like this to call on a lot of heavy acting from him, but he gives it. And I love that. And Robert Pattinson is doing this now. Well, until the whole Batman thing. But he, when an actor is like part of a franchise, so successful, and then he goes on to do a lot of smaller, more interesting stuff. And I love that Elijah Wood has like been doing that for like the last like, I don't know how many years. But this is another great role for him. It's one of the best roles I've seen him in the last 10 years. Man, the cinematography is amazing. Like every shot, the colors in this movie are just, phenomenal. I'm glad that this is coming out. I wish Neon had gotten it, because they're better than Saban. I'm sorry.
I was thinking not even just Neon, but Spectre Vision. Shit, why didn't
Saban's not allowed to have a good movie in their corner?
Well, they can have a good movie in the corner, but But Neon will get it put out more. They've got a bigger platform. They got more cred, more street cred.
You were on the money though, because Elijah Wood, what Daniel Radcliffe and Robert Pattinson do right now, Elijah Wood's like the original master of that. He got his franchise really out of the way.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say coasting. He just gets to do whatever the fuck small project he wants.
He's been indulging. And, artistically, which is really great. And I love watching that. And I can't wait to see what he does next.
From what I've heard from people who have met him around Austin, he just does not want to talk about Lord of the Rings. He's only interested in talking about movies that he produces or other movies. Mm-hmm. And that totally checks out when you look at his career post Lord of the Rings.
That's also fair enough, because I mean, that's where he's at now, and that's what interests him now, and he's so committed and so present in this movie. This movie's great. It gets to some really bonkers places, and I love it, and I love it as much as the quiet, like more sensitive moments it has. I'm gonna give this 10 out of 10. yeah, 10 out of 10 flying pieces of meat that I could never launch into a skillet like that.
Ooh, fun fact. Elijah Wood also does not like to be told that he looks like Grant Davis.
Well, who does?
I'm going to get into my final thoughts. I absolutely adored this movie. This is the first screener that I've gotten where I've wanted to watch it more than once. Which, I mean, I haven't gotten too many screeners, but holy fuck. This movie was just so good, and it was just so bonkers. I keep recommending this to people without bringing up anything about it. I'm just like, hey, come to daddy, go see it. And
it's a great title, too. It has, like, such a sarcastic, like, biting humor to it, you know? It's like, I love it.
The performances are so great. It takes what could be, to some extent, a goofy premise, just at least the first 15 minutes of it, or at least done goofy by the title and the horror elements to it, and turns it into something that manages to be deeper than what it sets out to be, and also crazier than what it sets out to be at the same time. I think this is an amazing debut by Ant Timpson. I think that I don't want to see him produce movies anymore. I want to see him make movies. It was just such a great movie, and we're going to get into spoiler talk later because there's just so much to talk about.
Sooner rather than later, for sure.
But as a whole, you guys pretty much summed up everything great. I adored this movie. I'd give it 9 out of 10 Hunchbacks.
Yeah. Nah, man, this movie's dope. You guys should watch it.
Now, if you have not
Said smelly prostitutes. I was waiting for someone to say smelly prostitutes.
Let's avoid the first spoiler. Let's just avoid talking about that. That's just and like maybe the sixth spoiler.
You're gonna have to be more specific, but hey, let's just
anything that involves the dad.
Anything that involves the dad?
Don't spoil that. Let's just not spoil that.
Okay, so no spoiler section?
No, we could talk around it. We don't gotta talk about anything involving the dad.
What is the title of the movie?
Walking into like a dude getting choked out.
Come to daddy.
I mean, I think everything's pretty fair game in spoiler talk.
That's kind of the
or
point.
Or him like talking to a coroner and immediately trying to hit on her.
Not immediately. He got to get had a bottle of wine first, and then.
Oh yeah, he just had to.
Then
get,
he had the.
And then realized he had nobody else to call because he lost his phone.
Okay, let's just say firmly we are in spoiler talk, and let's just dedicate the last 6 minutes of this review to talk about whatever we want to get off of our chests.
Did anybody find the violence like really funny? Was that the one
like?
Yes. Oh yeah,
I like
the final kill at the end. He just puts a paper stabber into someone's skull.
It's just like you're done, and that's where he's at now. Like it's like nothing to him anymore. And
we have one of those at work. I can't look at it the same anymore. I've stabbed myself with it before. Just like throwing down a ticket when I wasn't
maybe
looking.
Maybe it's easier when you don't have any skull.
Could be.
How about a certain character, if we're not bringing it up, getting their ear kicked off and having to choose between their ear or
kicking
the
man's ear off?
It's like a scene from Jack Reacher. It's like, either eat your fingers or die.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I thought you were going to say, either eat your ear or drink my jizz. I'm like, which Jack Reacher did you watch?
His response to that is like, I mean, that's the level of comedy this movie operates on, and I love that. He's like, but it's got protein and nutrients. Why wouldn't you do that? I love that. That's what
it was
like,
yellow. I don't have to fucking explain myself to you,
right?
Yeah.
Oh man, when he was telling him how to help him, he was just like, I need you to break that. I need you to take out that middle part. It'll open some of the right doors. It'll open some of the wrong doors too.
Good luck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that actor, as he just mentioned, I can't remember what I had seen the actor who was given the choice of eating his ear.
Martin Donovan. Donovan. He's been in so many things.
He's been in so many things. I mean, mainly we've just been seeing a lot of him because every time you go see a movie, you see the Tenet trailer.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm never going to be able to look at him the same way after this movie.
He may have ruined Tenet for me.
Also, there's a kill involving saran wrap, and I know you weren't as disturbed by it as I was.
Clearly.
No.
It's so fucking genius.
It's so genius. And then also what he does with the fucking barbecue fork.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really like... Well, I love that because that shows how inexperienced of a fighter he is, you know, and that's just where he went for, you know, he didn't.
Ooh, what I appreciate about this movie is it finally showed just how fucking hard the cardboard centers of those rolls are.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh my god! You can
take someone's eye out with one of those things.
Yeah.
If anybody ever worked in a warehouse, those things, like, man, that's a solid piece of cardboard.
But, you know, yeah. I love that, like, that encounter he has with him in the bathroom, with that guy in the bathroom. It's like, oh, you're in here. Oh. Yeah. I'm in here for a split second. It's like that awkwardness, and then it becomes like this, you know, little fight in the kitchen with toilet paper that's continuously, yeah, love it.
Oh, yeah, that was a great gag. I thought he was going to get stuck, and I was like, really, on toilet paper?
How about all of Elijah Wood's actions after the 15-minute mark?
I liked him when it was just him. I think the movie did a really good job when it was just him being like totally reflective mode.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
If you think about it, it's literally the best thing that could have happened to him. Otherwise, he's just a sad sack piece of shit.
Well, he would have been dead.
I can't do that. I can't kill a guy.
They would have killed him off at some point, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
Like, imagine if that twist didn't happen, or if it stayed at, like, a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like, any other scenario would have been way shitty. For this, like, it was like, he got to, like, save someone close to him.
Yeah. I think it's good that it turned when it turned, because, if it had been just the two of them trying to take each other out for an hour and a half,
I'm not saying
that wouldn't have been entertaining.
Maybe if it stayed a verbal fight, it would have been great. But if it got to this level of violence with just those two characters by themselves, I don't know if it would have held 90 minutes.
That's what it kind of sells in the trailer, which is what makes it really work when you see it in the movie. Because it sells the insanity of the violence, and it sells how funny the back and forth between them is in the first 15 minutes. But it doesn't sell any of the insanity of where it goes.
There's a character that has a job in this movie that, like, could, like, that sets off the whole course of events. Like, if they just didn't fuck up last minute, have too many drinks, like, this would have gone smoothly. Everything would have gone fine. This guy fucked everything up.
When you're in Thailand, man, you know, come on.
There was one part of this movie that was so baffling to me that I had to skip back to watch it again. Is he's sitting out on the porch and he's reading a book and he just throws it and it bounces and it lands standing up on the patio.
That was tight.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hold on. I gotta see that again.
God. I'm not sure. When you emailed the people from the Come to Daddy team, Frank, did they have that same enthusiasm that they gave me?
Well, they always ask me, "Have you watched it yet? And what are your thoughts?" And I said, I do Blu-ray reviews. I do go to screeners, to press screenings, and then so it's like I watched stuff like the night before. Like I'm like the guy in high school that did his homework like the night before. So, but I always say I'm gonna watch it. And I'm looking forward to it. But that's all I can do because I don't have time. I watched this one twice. I mean, I haven't had the time to watch anything twice. I barely can watch it one time.
I'm hoping mine isn't expired already because I really want to watch it again. And the more we're talking about it, the more I'm like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, you totally see it differently the second time around. But it's good for 14 days after you first watch it.
Well, we should probably start wrapping it up now, guys.
Oh, yeah. No, all I wanted to say is... this movie gives you like that Ratatouille moment when Ego eats that bite and he's just like, ah, being a critic isn't just about shitting on things. It's about the power of discovery. And boy, did we fucking discover something.
Yeah.
I can't relate. I haven't seen Ratatouille.
We're not going to talk about your thoughts on Ratatouille.
I've eaten Ratatouille, and it's amazing.
Ratatouille is fantastic.
I love Ratatouille. But I do know what you mean, because I think we live in like in a lot of like people that review movies. They look for reasons to like sort of not tear them down, but sort of like be cynical toward them, and think that they've got that whatever movie they're about to watch, they've got it pegged and they got it figured out. And I love that this movie is so it puts that sort of mentality away, because the architecture of it is just so like it's hard to predict, you know. Like I said before, it's consistently surprising, and it's a lot of things. It's you know, it's a thriller, it's a dark comedy, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a character drama, you know. And
it's like the house of this movie, there are no walls.
It's a hybrid, it's a Frankenstein.
Speaking of which, you can catch us later at 8 Things Wrong with Rise of the Skywalker.